This is The Guardian.
Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal land with the full story. As Australians watch Donald Trump continue to crack down on migrants, a private prison company used by ICE in the US has taken over detention centres in Australia.
I think it's fair to say that this is an incredibly difficult issue to report on. It's like a black hole. It's like trying to get blood out of a stone here.
Staff inside the Australian detention centres have now highlighted safety concerns, including a rise in sexual assaults.
Workers told me there's a feeling of a lack of safety, they allege.
And as the company faces allegations of gross negligence in the US, questions remain about the Albanese government's decision to put the company in charge of Australia's detention regime.
There have been calls from asylum seeker advocacy groups and others for the contract to be ended.
Today, Chief Investigations Correspondent Christopher Norse and Investigations Reporter Ariel Bogle on the link between Australian immigration detention centres and ICE. It's Tuesday, the 17th of February. Hi, Christopher. Good to see you again.
Hi. Good to be with you.
And Ariel, welcome back as well.
Good to be here.
Look, a lot of Australians would be shocked to hear that there's any connection with ICE's immigration crackdown and our detention centres. Just give us an idea of what got both of you looking into this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've been looking at this story for a number of years now. We first started looking at this company when, you know, out of the blue, they were awarded some pretty massive contracts by the Australian government to run both onshore and offshore detention facilities in Australia. And they're a massive company in the US, absolutely huge, but here relatively unknown. And we just thought, who is this company? What's their background? And where have they come from? How have they come in to secure these absolutely massive contracts? And that really just led us down a path of investigation and looking at their record in the United States and across the world.
We're going to come back to the United States, but let's answer some of those questions about Australia. Who are Management and Training Corporation and what are they doing here?
So Management and Training Corporation, as Chris was alluding to, is an American kind of private prison company, quite a significant one in the US. In Australia, they're probably lesser known, but they do have some contracts in Australia for prisons. So in New South Wales, they have been running Parkley, a prison here for the New South Wales Corrections Department. But there was some discussion towards the end of 2024 about who would get the next contract for the onshore immigration detention scheme. I know a lot of Australians will have been seeing headlines about our detention system for decades at this point, and different companies have at different times run those centres. Most recently, Serco had that contract for a very long time, and I guess in many ways the name Serco has kind of become synonymous with Australia's immigration detention system. So it did surprise, I think, at the end of 2024 to see that contract worth $2.3 billion awarded to a new company, this Management and Training Corporation, through a local subsidiary named Secure Journeys. So from that point, you know, we wanted to apply the same scrutiny to the centres that they were running as many different journalists, including ourselves, have paid to Serco in its time in these centres, which remain, you know, controversial in many ways and part of what remains as well an immigration detention policy in Australia that is subject to heavy debate.
And you've been talking to staff anonymously who work in the Australian detention facilities. They've made some allegations and claims about their concerns there. Can you just outline what they are?
Absolutely. So, you know, since the beginning of the contract, when MTC via Secure Journey started moving into the centre in early 2025, around March, you know, you started to hear rumblings about what was going on. You know, some of that probably could be chalked up to teething pains, that transition process. There was a lot of difficulty there, of course, perhaps understandably. But almost a year on now, I started to hear from workers and some people within the centres who are detained there, that there was perhaps some issue with staffing. So what was claimed to me by the union representing a lot of the workers at Australia's onshore immigration detention system, United Workers Union, workers I spoke with, they claimed that the Secure Journeys was running these centres with too low a level of staff, perhaps an unsafe level of staffing and deliberate levels of understaffing. The United Workers Union told me that understaffing is driven by what they said was a business model that prioritises lower headcounts and flexibility over safety. And so some examples there, a detention service officer at Brisbane Immigration Detention Centre told me that a compound that might run with four workers may now be run with just two or sometimes one. A detainee at Yonga Hill said sometimes overnight there is only one or two workers in the compound as well, which they thought was also unsafe because, you know, what if there's an incident? What if something happens either to the guard or the service officer themselves or to a detainee? This was sort of echoed by a number of workers. And I should note here too, of course, we put all these allegations to Secure Journeys and MTC and they declined to comment. But I think the reaction that we got when we put questions to the Australian government too shows there may be, there was some acknowledgement, I suppose, of an issue. The Australian government Border Force spokesperson told us that the company is required to meet strict contractual obligations in providing these services and said that they were working with Secure Journeys to ensure each facility is safely and appropriately staffed. And I'm aware of Safe Work New South Wales visits to Villawood over workplace safety issues. And there's a whole range of other issues there, but this staffing issue seemed to be really foremost in the minds of workers I spoke with, but also detainees.
Yeah, and it's worth just pointing out there as well and just really highlighting the fact that to get a response from the Department of Home Affairs that appears to even vaguely criticise a contractor working in its immigration system is extremely rare. Like, that just does not happen. I mean, we were completely expecting to get a no comment or a very bland response back. And the response that came in, you know, the department acknowledging the concerns and saying that they were, you know, talking with Secure Journeys and that they had contractual obligations. To the general punter in Australia, it sounds like nothing, but to journalists who've been working in this area for a long time, it was quite significant.
What does that suggest?
Well, it suggests that the department is taking it very seriously. You know, I don't think that they would make a public intervention of that kind unless they were taking it seriously.
There are obviously some concerns. I know that there's some statistics around about increased sexual assault critical incidents as well.
Yes, so the last Home Affairs annual report had some concerning stats around critical incidents in the centres. So as of June 2025, there was a rate of 59 incidents per 1,000 detainees compared with 27.84 the year before. And sexual assault critical incidents had increased from 19 the year before to around 30 during 2024-25. And I should note there too, of course, that was that transition period from Serco to Secure Journeys. So it's not all on Secure Journeys MTC time. But nevertheless, when I put those stats to the union and to the workers, I was told that those kind of numbers reflect these industrial and safety issues that members were raising with the union on what he said was a near constant basis. And there have been a range of violent incidents that have resulted in charges in recent months. So there was a death of a detainee at Villawood in January. A 29-year-old man was charged with murder, a detainee at the centre. There have been a number of assaults on security officers at Yonga Hill in Western Australia, at Melbourne Immigration Detention Centre as well. And workers told me that that has really contributed to that low morale. There's a feeling of a lack of safety, they allege.
Is there an allegation here that Australia's detention facilities are essentially being run like prisons and that that's the concern?
That was echoed to me by a number of workers. They claimed that Secure Journeys was, quote, running it like a prison, and a detainee also mentioned that to me. And interestingly too, I heard from a number of workers and a detainee that there had been secondments into the centres from Park Lee, which is their private prison. So workers from Park Lee had been seconded to immigration detention centres to make up the numbers. And to be clear, although they may look like prisons from the outside, you know, and there's this rhetoric around escapes and things like that, they're not correctional facilities. It's an administrative detention, you know, to facilitate our immigration policy, but they're not meant to be places of punitive punishment. No one has been ordered because of a crime to serve time there, if you know what I mean. Although, of course, we should point out too that the majority of residents at these detention centres now are people who have had their visas cancelled for character reasons, perhaps because they have been convicted of a crime, served time and come out and been put in immigration detention. So they're complex populations and a range of different people there, including asylum seekers and others. But this prison-like atmosphere was put to me by a number of workers.
How hard is it to get information out of companies that run these sorts of detention facilities?
Look, I think it's fair to say that this is an incredibly difficult issue to report on. It's like a black hole. There's just not a lot of information. It's really hard to get people to talk. Governments don't want to talk about it. They routinely no comment you. The contractor, whether it's MTC or past contractors like Serco, usually just will refuse to comment at all. Because they're an American company and America has such a higher level of transparency generally than Australia, it's been really interesting because the information we're able to get out of the US about MTC's track record there has been much, much easier to get details about, you know, past incidents, about people who have accused them of doing things, about their responses, what's been found, what hasn't been substantiated. All of that in America is really easy to get your hands on. The contrast with Australia couldn't be more stark. It's like trying to get blood out of a stone here, incredibly difficult area to report on.
That's fascinating. People might find that quite counterintuitive.
Even with public records, you know, I've been trying to get the contract for secure journeys with the government over their running of the onshore detention system. And I got a version of it via FOI after many, many months. But then I had to go back again and appeal because it had so many unnecessary redactions, which really stripped out of it any real understanding of how MTC was contractually obligated to run the centres. And I would argue even the latest version I have really obscures that picture. So the battle continues.
We'll be right back. Chris, let's go to some of that that connection with the US. So as you say, MTC is running immigration detention centres in the US there as well. There have been allegations made about the facilities there. What are some of those?
Yeah, so we started looking at this a few weeks back. It became immediately apparent that MTC were very significantly involved in taking detainees who were being caught up in this Donald Trump crackdown on migrants, and they were doing so at facilities that they ran right across the southern border of the US. So they're playing a really significant role. There's been a lot of commentary about the fact that MTC and a handful of other private prison operators are making huge amounts of money from this migrant crackdown because all of a sudden these detention facilities are overcrowded, they need to be expanded and new ones built. So there's all these contracts flying around for private prison operators like MTC. So we started looking at, okay, well, it's clear that MTC are involved, right? What's their track record? What do we know about the way they're treating people who are coming into their detention through this crackdown? And we went to the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, which most people will have heard of, and they told us, look, there's been a string of complaints about MTC. They involved things like guards assaulting detainees, complaints of really severe overcrowding, so really cramped conditions, people being just absolutely crammed into a single room, the use of solitary confinement as a punishment, which is a quite self-evidently a big no-no in when you're talking about not just immigration detention but corrections generally. And we also discovered a complaint about their handling of a death of a detainee who was allegedly not provided proper medical care at the Imperial facility in California. MTC, of course, denies the vast majority of that, but I think it's quite clear that there are serious concerns about what they're doing over there. And the ACLU told us that any government entity that's thinking about entering a contract with MTC should be paying really close attention to what they're doing in this migrant crackdown and taking that seriously.
Was the Australian government aware of some of the concerns coming out of America before they awarded the contract here to MTC?
Yeah, it's a really critical question and something we're still trying to unravel. So we know that they were aware of some concerns, and this is obviously this predates this current Trump ICE crackdown, but they do have a long and troubled history in the US, stretching back many, many years. So they faced a whole range of court cases alleging things like bribery in Mississippi, alleging that they had been involved in really egregious security failures that allowed for the gang rape of a woman in one of its facilities, another quite egregious security lapse that allowed an escaped prisoner out who then went on to murder two people. We don't know exactly what Home Affairs knew at the time they began awarding or negotiating with MTC for these contracts in Australia, but that is a really critical question that's being pursued by senators like David Shoebridge in Senate estimates. And to be honest, it's hard to see a situation in which the department couldn't have been aware of this stuff because it's all available in publicly accessible records. If you're doing due diligence on a contractor for massive contracts, you know, these contracts collectively worth more than $3 billion. It's not that hard to find, especially in a space where you know you're going to be under immense scrutiny, you know, a space like immigration detention where there is quite intense media focus. There is the potential for really awful things to happen to people who are extremely vulnerable. That level of due diligence you'd assume within the department was quite significant. So it's hard to imagine a situation in which they weren't aware, but that's something we're still pursuing.
Ariel and Chris, as you've said, both been talking to unions and the Greens. What do they want to see happen here in Australia? And could we see the Australian government shift their approach to awarding these contracts?
It's a good question. You know, David Shoebridge's, as Chris just alluded to, put some questions to the department just recently in Senate estimates asking about the due diligence. And, you know, the response from the department was that they undertook all the required due diligence, you know, in accordance with Commonwealth procurement rules. There have been calls from asylum seeker advocacy groups and others for the contract to be ended. You know, they, of course, have disquiet about the immigration detention system writ large. And if you're going to have a immigration detention system like this and you're not going to run it publicly, there are very few contractors that have the scale and ability to run a centre like this. There'd probably only be a handful. So you are picking from a pretty small group, just to recognise that. But certainly there are definitely questions to be asked about oversight and the procurement process and how any of these concerns about MTC's operations in the US were at least addressed or would be supervised ongoing in the Australian system.
The cancelling of the contract, I think, is probably unlikely, but whether there'll be some sort of dialogue between the department and MTC to sort of crack the whip, so to speak, and make sure that they are meeting contractual obligations, I think that's a more likely scenario, yeah.
Ariel and Chris, thank you so much for your reporting on this and for talking to us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Regent.
That was Chief Investigations Correspondent Christopher Norse and Investigations Reporter Ariel Bogle. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert, sound design and mixing by Joe Koning. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.